the 23rd of November. Up betimes, and so being trimmed, I to get papers ready against Sir Hugh Cholmondeley come to me by appointment, he being newly come over from Tangier. He did by and by come, and we settled all matters about his money, and he is a most satisfied man in me, and doth declare his resolution to give me £200 per annum, it continuing to be a great frost, which gives us hope for a perfect cure of the plague. He and I to walk in the park, and there discoursed with grief of the calamity of the times, how the king's service is performed, and how Tangier is governed by a man who, though honourable, yet doth mind his ways of getting, and little else compared, which will never make the place flourish. I brought him home and had a good dinner for him, and there come by chance Captain Cuttance, who tells me how Will Howe is laid by the heels and confined to the Royal Catherine, and his things all seized, and how also, for a quarrel which indeed my lord the other night told me, Captain Ferrers, having cut all over the back of another of my lord's servants, is parted from my lord. I sent for little Mistress Frances Tooker, and after they were gone, I sat dallying with her an hour, doing what I would with my hand about her, and a very pretty creature it is. So, in the evening, parted, and I to the office, where late writing letters, and at my lodging later, writing for the last 12 days my journal, and so to bed. Great expectation what mischief more the French will do us, for we must fall out, we in extraordinary lack of money and everything else to go to sea the next year. My Lord Sandwich is gone from the fleet yesterday toward Oxford. The 24th of November. Up, and after doing some business at the office, I to London, and there in my way, at my old oyster shop in Gracious Street, bought 2 barrels of my fine woman of the shop, who is alive after all the plague, which now is the first observation or inquiry we make at London concerning everybody we knew before it. So to the change, we're very busy with several people, and mightily glad to see the change so full, and hopes of an abatement still the next week. Off the change, I went home with Sir George Smith to dinner, sending for one of my barrels of oysters, which were good, though come from Colchester, where the plague hath been so much. Here a very brave dinner, though no invitation, and, Lord, to see how I am treated, that come from so mean a beginning, is matter of wonder to me. But it is God's great mercy to me, and his blessing upon my taking pains and being punctual in my dealings. After dinner, Captain Cock and I about some business, and then, with my other barrel of oysters, home to Greenwich, sent them by water to Mistress Pennington, while he and I landed and visited Mr. Evelyn, where most excellent discourse with him, among other things, he showed me a ledger of a treasurer of the navy, his great-grandfather, just 100 years old, which I seemed mighty fond of, and he did present me with it, which I take as a great rarity, and he hopes to find me more, older than it. He also showed us several letters of the old Lord of Leicester's in Queen Elizabeth's time, under the very handwriting of Queen Elizabeth and Queen Mary, Queen of Scots, and others very venerable names. But, Lord, how poorly methinks they wrote in those days, and on what plain uncut paper! Thence Cock, having sent for his coach, we to Mistress Pennington, and there sat and talked and ate our oysters with great pleasure. And so home to my lodging late, and to bed. The 25th of November. Up and busy at the office all day long, saving dinner time, and in the afternoon also very late at my office, and so home to bed. All our business is now about our Hamburg fleet, whether it can go or no this year, the weather being set in frosty, and the whole stay being for want of pilots now, which I have wrote to the Trinity House about, but have so poor an account from them, that I did acquaint Sir William Coventry at court with it this post. The 26th of November, Lord's Day. Up, though very late abed, yet before day, to dress myself to go toward Erith, which I would do by land, it being a horrible cold frost to go by water. So borrowed 2 horses of Mr. Howell and his friend, and with much ado set out, after my horses being frosted, which I know not what it means to this day, and my boy having lost one of my spurs and stockings, carrying them to the smith's. But I borrowed a stocking, and so got up, and Mr. Tooker with me, and rode to Erith, and there on board my Lord Brunker met Sir William Warren upon his business, among others, and did a great deal. Sir John Minnis, as God would have it, not being there to hinder us with his impertinences. Business done, we to dinner very merry, there being there Sir Edmund Pooley, a very worthy gentleman. They are now come to the copper boxes and the prizes, and hope to have ended all this week. After dinner took leave, and on shore to Madam Williams, to give her an account of my lord's letter to me about Howe, who he hath clapped by the heels on suspicion of having the jewels. She did give me my Lord Brunker's examination of the fellow, that declares his having them. And so, away, Sir William Warren riding with me, and the way being very bad, that is, hard and slippery by reason of the frost, so we could not come to past Woolwich till night. However, having a great mind to have gone to the Duke of Albemarle, I endeavoured to have gone further, but the night came on, and no going, so I light, and sent my horse by Tooker, and returned on foot to my wife at Woolwich, whom I found, as I had directed, a good dinner to be made against tomorrow, and invited guests in the yard, meaning to be merry in order to her taking leave, for she intends to come in a day or two to me for altogether. But here they tell me one of the houses behind them is infected, and I was fain to stand there a great while, to have their back door opened, but they could not, having locked them fast against any passing through, so was forced to pass by them again, close to their sick beds, which they were removing out of the house, which troubled me. So I made them uninvite their guests, and to resolve of coming all away to me tomorrow, and I walked with a lantern, weary as I was, to Greenwich, but it was a fine walk, it being a hard frost, and so to Captain Cox, but he, I found, had sent for me to come to him to Mistress Pennington's, and there I went, and we were very merry and supped. And Cock, being sleepy, he went away betimes. I stayed alone, talking and playing with her till past midnight, she suffering me a hafer whatever ego voulu avec ses mamelles, and I had almost led her by discourse to make her tocar mi cosa naked, which ella did presque, and did not refuse. Much pleased with her company, we parted, and I home to bed at past one, all people being in bed, thinking I would have stayed out of town all night. The 27th of November. Up, and being to go to wait on the Duke of Albemarle, who was to go out of town to Oxford tomorrow, I being unwilling to go by water, it being bitter cold, walked it with my landlady's little boy, Christopher, to Lambeth, it being a very fine walk, and calling at half the way, and drank. So to the Duke of Albemarle, who is visited by everybody against his going, and mighty kind to me, and upon my desiring his grace to give me his kind word to the Duke of York, if any occasion there were of speaking of me, he told me he had reason to do, for there had been nothing done in the navy without me. His going, I hear, is upon putting the sea business into order, and as some say, and people of his own family, that he is agog to go to sea himself the next year. Here I met with a letter from Sir George Carteret, who is come to Cranbourne, that he will be here this afternoon and desires me to be with him, so the Duke would have me dine with him. So, it being not dinner-time, I to the Swan, and there found Sarah, all alone in the house. And I had the opportunity a hafer what I tena a mind a hafer con ella, only con my hands. But she was vexed at my offer a tocarla under su jupe. But I did once, non obstant all that. So away to the Duke of Albemarle again, and there to dinner, he most exceeding kind to me, to the observation of all that are there. At dinner comes Sir George Carteret and dines with us. After dinner a great deal alone with Sir George Carteret, who tells me that my lord hath received still worse and worse usage from some base people about the court. But the king is very kind, and the duke doth not appear the contrary, and my Lord Chancellor swore to him, "By God, I will not forsake my Lord of Sandwich." Our next discourse is upon this Act for Money, about which Sir George Carteret comes to see what money can be got upon it. But none can be got, which pleases him the thoughts of, for if the Exchequer should succeed in this, his office would fail. But I am apt to think at this time of hurry and plague and want of trade, no money will be got upon a new way which few understand. We walked, Cock and I, through the park with him, and so we being to meet the Vice-Chamberlain tomorrow at Nonsuch, to treat with Sir Robert Long about the same business. I into London, it being dark night, by a hackney coach, the first I have durst to go in many a day, and with great pain now for fear. But it being unsafe to go by water in the dark, and frosty, cold, and unable, being weary with my morning walk, to go on foot, this was my only way. Few people yet in the streets, nor shops open, here and there 20 in a place almost, though not above 5 or 6 o'clock at night. So to Viner's, and there heard of Cock, and found him at the Pope's Head, drinking with Temple. I to them, where the goldsmiths do decry the new Act for Money to be all brought into the Exchequer and paid out thence, saying they will not advance 1 farthing upon it. And indeed it is their interest to say and do so. Thence Cock and I to Sir George Smith's, it being now night, and there up to his chamber and sat talking, and I barbing against tomorrow. And anon at 9 at night comes to us Sir George Smith and the Lieutenant of the Tower, and there they sat talking and drinking till past midnight, and mighty merry we were, the Lieutenant of the Tower being in a mighty vein of singing, and he hath a very good ear and strong voice, but no manner of skill. Sir George Smith showed me his lady's closet, which was very fine, and after being very merry, here I lay in a noble chamber, and mighty highly treated, the first night I have lain in London a long time. The 28th of November. Up before day, and Cock and I took a hackney coach, appointed with 4 horses to take us up, and so carried us over London Bridge. But there, thinking of some business, I did light at the foot of the bridge, and by help of a candle at a stall where some pavers were at work, I wrote a letter to Mr. Hayter, and never knew so great an instance of the usefulness of carrying pen and ink and wax about one. So we, but way being very bad, to Nonsuch, and thence to Sir Robert Long's house, a fine place, and dinner-time ere we got thither, but we had breakfasted a little at Mr. Gordon's, he being out of town, though, and there borrowed Dr. Taylor's sermons, and is a most excellent book and worth my buying, where had a very good dinner and curiously dressed. And here a couple of ladies, kinswomen of his, not handsome, though, but rich, that knew me by report of Theophila Turner, and mighty merry we were. After dinner, to talk of our business, the Act of Parliament, where, in short, I see Sir Robert Long mighty fierce in the great good qualities of it. But in that and many other things he was stiff in, I think without much judgment, or the judgment I expected from him. And already they have evaded the necessity of bringing people into the Exchequer with their bills to be paid there. Sir George Carteret is tickled at this, yet resolves with me to make the best use we can of this Act for the King. But all our care, we think, will not render it as it should be. He did again, here alone, discourse with me about my lord, and is himself strongly for my lord's not going to sea, which I am glad to hear, and did confirm him in it. He tells me, too, that he talked last night with the Duke of Albemarle about my Lord Sandwich, by the by making him sensible that it is his interest to preserve his old friends, which he confessed he had reason to do, for he knew ill offices were doing of him, and that he honoured my Lord Sandwich with all his heart. After this discourse we parted, and all of us broke up, and we parted. Captain Cock and I, through Wandsworth, drank at Sir Alan Broderick's, a great friend and comrade of Cock's, whom he values above the world for a witty companion, and I believe he is so. So to Vauxhall, and there took boat and down to the Old Swan, and thence to Lombard Street, it being dark night, and thence to the Tower, took boat and down to Greenwich, Cock and I. He home, and I to the office, where did a little business, and then to my lodgings, where my wife is come. And I am well pleased with it, only much trouble in these lodgings we have, the mistress of the house being so deadly dear in everything we have, so that we do resolve to remove home as soon as we know how the plague goes this week, which we hope will be a good decrease. So, to bed. The 29th of November. Up, my wife and I, talking how to dispose of our goods, and resolved upon sending our two maids, Alice, who hath been a day or two at Woolwich with my wife, thinking to have had a feast there, and Susan, home. So my wife, after dinner, did take them to London with some goods, and I, in the afternoon, after doing other business, did go also by agreement to meet Captain Cock, and from him to Sir Roger Cuttance about the money due from Cock to him for the late prize goods, wherein Sir Roger is troubled that he hath not payment as agreed, and the other that he must pay without being secured in the quiet possession of them. But some accommodation to both, I think, will be found. But Cock doth tell me that several have begged so much of the king to be discovered out of stolen prize goods, and so I am afeard we shall hereafter have trouble. Therefore I will get myself free of them as soon as I can, and my money paid. Thence home to my house, calling my wife, where the poor wretch is putting things in a way to be ready for our coming home, and so by water together to Greenwich, and so spent the night together. The 30th of November. Up and at the office all the morning. At noon comes Sir Thomas Allen, and I made him dine with me, and very friendly he is, and a good man, I think, but one that professes he loves to get and to save. He dined with my wife and me and Mistress Barbary, whom my wife brings along with her from Woolwich for as long as she stays here. In the afternoon to the office, and there very late writing letters, and then home, my wife and people sitting up for me, and after supper to bed. Great joy we have this week in the weekly bill, it being come to 544 in all, and but 333 of the plague, so that we are encouraged to get to London as soon as we can. And my father writes as great news of joy to them, that he saw York's wagon go again this week to London, and was full of passengers, and tells me that my Aunt Bell hath been dead of the plague these 7 weeks. December 1665. The First. This morning to the office, full of resolution to spend the whole day at business. And there, among other things, I did agree with Poynter to be my clerk for my victualling business. And so I, all alone, all the day long, shut up in my little closet at my office, drawing up instructions which I should long since have done for my surveyors of the ports. Sir William Coventry desiring much to have them, and he might well have expected them long since. After dinner, to it again, and at night had long discourse with Gibson, who is for Yarmouth, who makes me understand so much of the victualling business and the purser's trade, that I am ashamed I should go about the concerning myself in a business which I understand so very, very little of, and made me distrust all I had been doing today. So I did lay it by till tomorrow morning to think of it fresh. And so home, by promise to my wife to have mirth there. So we have our neighbours, little Miss Tooker, and Mistress Daniels to dance. And after supper I to bed and left them merry below, which they did not part from till 2 or 3 in the morning. The 2nd and 3rd of December. Up and discoursing with my wife, who is resolved to go to London for good, and all this day, we did agree upon giving Mr. Sheldon £10, and Mistress Barbary 2 pieces. And so I left her to go down thither to fetch away the rest of the things, and pay him the money. And so I to the office, where, very busy, setting Mr. Poynter to write out my last night's work, which pleases me this day, but yet it is pretty to reflect how much I am out of countenance with what I had done upon Gibson's discourse with me, for fear I should have it done sillily. But Poynter likes them, and Mr. Hayter also, but yet I am afeard lest they should do it out of flattery, so conscious I am of my ignorance. Dined with my wife at noon, and took leave of her, she being to go to London, as I said, for altogether, and I to the office, busy till past one in the morning, it being Lord's Day, and up and dressed, and to church, thinking to have sat with Sir James Bunce, to hear his daughter and her husband sing, that are so much commended, but was prevented by being invited into Colonel Cleggett's pew. However, there I sat near Mr. Lanyer, with whom I spoke and in sight by chance, and very near my fat brown beauty of our parish, the rich merchant's lady, a very noble woman, and of Madam Pierce. A good sermon of Mr. Plume's, and so to Captain Cox, and there dined with him and Colonel Wyndham, a worthy gentleman, whose wife was nurse to the present king, and one that, while she lived, governed him and everything else, as Cox says, as a minister of state, the old king putting mighty weight and trust upon her. They talked much of matters of state and persons, and particularly how my Lord Berkeley hath all along been a fortunate, though a passionate and but weak man as to policy, but as a kinsman brought in and promoted by my Lord of St. Albans, and one that is the greatest vaporer in the world, this Colonel Wyndham says, and one to whom only with Jack Ashburnham and Colonel Legg the king's removal to the Isle of Wight from Hampton Court was communicated, and though betrayed by their knavery, or at best by their ignorance. Insomuch that they have all solemnly charged one another with their failures therein, and have been at daggers drawing publicly about it, yet now none greater friends in the world. We dined, and in comes Mistress Owen, a kinswoman of my Lord Brunker's, about getting a man discharged, which I did for her, and by Mistress Pierce to speak with me, and Mary, my wife's late maid, now gone to her, about her husband's business of money. And she tells us how she prevented Captain Fisher the other day in his purchase of all her husband's fine goods, as pearls and silks, that he had seized in an apothecary's house, a friend of theirs. But she got in and broke them open, and removed all, before Captain Fisher came the next day to fetch them away, at which he is stark mad. She went home and to my lodgings. At night, by agreement, I fetched her again with Cox's coach, and he came, and we sat and talked together, thinking to have had Mistress Coleman and my songsters, her husband and Lanier, but they failed me. So we to supper, and as merry as was sufficient, and my little pretty miss with me. And so, after supper, walked Pierce home, and so back and to bed. But, Lord, I stand admiring of the wittiness of her little boy, which is one of the wittiest boys, but most confident that ever I did see of a child of 9 year old, or under, in all my life, or indeed one twice his age almost, but all for roguish wit. So to bed. The 4th of December. Several people to me about business, among others Captain Taylor, intended storekeeper for Harwich, whom I did give some assistance in his dispatch by lending him money. So out and by water to London, and to the change and up and down about several businesses. And after the observing, God forgive me, one or two of my neighbour Hermosa Mujeres come to town, which did please me very well, home to my house at the office where my wife had got a dinner for me, and it was a joyful thing for us to meet here, for which God be praised. Here was her brother come to see her and speak with me about business. It seems my recommending of him hath not only obtained presently being admitted into the Duke of Albemarle's guard, and present pay, but also, by the Duke's and Sir Philip Howard's directions, to be put as a right-hand man, and other marks of special respect, at which I'm very glad, partly for him, and partly to see that I am reckoned something in my recommendations, but wish he may carry himself that I may receive no disgrace by him. So to the change, and up and down again in the evening about business, and to meet Captain Cock, who waited for Mistress Pierce, with whom he is mightily stricken, to receive and hide for her her rich goods she saved the other day from seizure. Upon the change to-day, Colville tells me from Oxford that the king in person hath justified my Lord Sandwich to the highest degree, and is right in his favour to the uttermost. So, late by water home, taking a barrel of oysters with me, and at Greenwich went and sat with Madame Pennington, con laquelle je faisais almost whatever je voudrais, con mi mano, sino tocar la chose même. And I was very near it and made her undress her head and set dishevelled all night, sporting till 2 in the morning. And so away to my lodging, almost cloyed with this dalliance, and so to bed. Over fasting all the morning hath filled me mightily with wind, and nothing else hath done it that I fear a fit of the colic. The 5th of December. Up and to the office, where very busy about several businesses all the morning. At noon, empty, yet without stomach to dinner, having spoilt myself with fasting yesterday, and so filled with wind. In the afternoon, by water, calling Mr. Stevens, who is with great trouble paying of seamen of their tickets at Deptford, and to London to look for Captain Kingdon, whom we found at home about 5 o'clock. I wooed him, and he promised to follow us presently to the East India House, to sign papers tonight, in order to the settling the business of my receiving money for Tangier. We went and stopped the officers there to shut up. He made us stay above an hour. I sent for him, he comes, but was not found at home, but abroad on other business, and brings a paper saying that he had been this hour looking for the Lord Ashley's order. When he looks for it, that is not the paper. He would go again to look, kept us waiting till almost 8 at night. Then was I to go home by water, this weather and dark, and to write letters by the post, besides keeping the East India officers there so late. I sent for him again. At last he comes and says he cannot find the paper, which is a pretty thing to lay orders for £100,000, no better. I was angry. He told me I ought to give people ease at night, and all business was to be done by day. I answered him sharply that I did not make, nor any honest man, any difference between night and day in the king's business, and this was such, and my Lord Ashley should know. He answered me short. I told him I knew the time, meaning the rump's time, when he did other men's business with more diligence. He cried, "Nay, say not so," and stopped his mouth not one word after. We then did our business without the order in less than 8 minutes, which he made me to no purpose stay above 2 hours for the doing. This made me mad, and so we exchanged notes, and I had notes for £14,000 of the treasurer of the company. And so away and by water to Greenwich, and wrote my letters, and so home late to bed. The 6th of December. Up betimes, it being fast day, and by water to the Duke of Albemarle, who came to town from Oxford last night. He is mighty brisk and very kind to me, and asks my advice principally in everything. He surprises me with the news that my Lord Sandwich goes ambassador to Spain speedily, though I know not whence this arises, yet I am heartily glad of it. He did give me several directions what to do, and so I home by water again and to church a little, thinking to have met Mistress Pierce in order to our meeting at night. But she not there, I home, and dined. And comes presently, by appointment, my wife. I spent the afternoon upon a song of Solomon's words to Roxolana that I have set. And so, with my wife, walked, and Mercer, to Mistress Pierce's, where Captain Rolt and Mistress Nip, Mr. Coleman and his wife, and Lanier, Mistress Worship, and her singing daughter, met. And by, unexpectedly comes Mr. Pierce from Oxford. Here the best company for music I ever was in my life, and I wish I could live and die in it, both for music and the face of Mistress Pierce and my wife and Nip, who is pretty enough, but the most excellent mad-humoured thing, and sings the noblest that ever I heard in my life, and Rolt with her, some things together most excellently. I spent the night in an ecstasy almost, and having invited them to my house a day or two hence, we broke up. Pierce, having told me that he is told how the king hath done my Lord Sandwich all the right imaginable, by showing him his countenance before all the world on every occasion, to remove thoughts of discontent, and that he is to go ambassador, and that the Duke of York is made general of all forces by land and sea, and the Duke of Albemarle, Lieutenant General. Whether the two latter alterations be so true or no, he knows not, but he is told so. But my lord is in full favour with the king, so all home and to bed. The 7th of December. Up and to the office, where very busy all day. Sir George Carteret's letter tells me my Lord Sandwich is, as I was told, declared ambassador extraordinary to Spain, and to go with all speed away, and that his enemies have done him as much good as he could wish. At noon, late to dinner, and after dinner spent till night with Mr. Gibson and Hayter, discoursing and making myself more fully understand the trade of pursers, and what fit is to be done in their business. And so to the office till midnight, writing letters. And so home and after supper with my wife, about 1 o'clock to bed. The 8th of December. Up well pleased in my mind about my Lord Sandwich, about whom I shall know more anon from Sir George Carteret, who will be in town, and also that the Hamburg ships, after all difficulties, are got out. God send them good speed. So, after being trimmed, I by water to London to the Navy office, there to give order to my maid to buy things to send down to Greenwich for supper tonight, and I also to buy other things, as oysters and lemons, 6 pence per piece, and oranges, 3 pence. That done, I to the change, and among many other things, especially for getting of my Tangier money paid, I, by appointment, met Mr. Gordon, and he and I to the Pope's Head Tavern, and there he did give me alone a very pretty dinner. Our business to talk of his matters and his supply of money, what was necessary for us to talk on before the Duke of Albemarle this afternoon, and Sir George Carteret. After that I offered it to pay him the £4,000 remaining of his £8,000 for Tangier, which he took with great kindness, and prayed me most frankly to give him a note for £3,500, and accept the other £500 for myself, which in good earnest was against my judgment to do, for expected about £100 and no more. But, however, he would have me do it, and owns very great obligations to me, and the man indeed I love, and he deserves it. This put me into great joy, though with a little stay to it till we have time to settle it. For so great a sum, I was fearful any accident might by death or otherwise defeat me, having not now time to change papers. So we rose, and by water to Whitehall, where we find Sir George Carteret with the Duke, and also Sir George Downing, whom I had not seen in many years before. He greeted me very kindly, and I him, though methinks I am touched that it should be said that he was my master heretofore, as doubtless he will. So to talk of our navy business, and particularly money business, of which there is little hopes of any present supply upon this new act, the goldsmiths being here, and Alderman Backwell newly come from Flanders, and none offering any. So we rose without doing more than my stating the case of the victualler, that whereas there is due to him on the last year's declaration £80,000, and the charge of this year's amounts to £420,000 and odd, he must be supplied between this and the end of January with £150,000, and the remainder in 40 weeks by weekly payments, or else he cannot go through his business. Thence, after some discourse with Sir George Carteret, who, though he tells me that he is glad of my lord's being made ambassador, and that it is the greatest courtesy his enemies could do him, yet I find he is not heartily merry upon it, and that it was no design of my lord's friends, but the prevalence of his enemies, and that the Duke of Albemarle and Prince Robert are like to go to sea together the next year. I pray God, when my lord is gone, they do not fall hard upon the vice-chamberlain, being alone and in so envious a place, though by this late act and the instructions now a-brewing for our office as to method of payments, will destroy the profit of his place of itself, without much trouble. Thence by water down to Greenwich, and there find all my company come, that is, Mistress Nip, and an ill-melancholy, jealous-looked fellow, her husband, that spoke not a word to us all the night. Pierce and his wife, and Rolt, Mistress Worship and her daughter, Coleman and his wife, and Lanier, and to make us perfectly happy, there comes by chance to town Mr. Hill to see us. Most excellent music we had in abundance, and a good supper, dancing, and a pleasant scene of Mistress Nips rising sick from table, but whispered me it was for some hard word or other her husband give her just now, when she laughed and was more merry than ordinary. But we got her in humour again, and mighty merry, spending the night till 2 in the morning, with most complete content as ever in my life, it being increased by my day's work with Mr. Gordon. Then broke up, and we to bed, Mr. Hill and I, whom I love more and more, and he us. The 9th of December. Called up betimes by my Lord Brunker, who is come to town from his long water work at Erith last night, to go with him to the Duke of Albemarle, which by his coach I did, our discourse upon the ill posture of the times through lack of money. At the Duke's did some business, and I believe he was not pleased to see all the Duke's discourse and applications to me and everybody else. Discoursed also with Sir George Carteret about office business, but no money in view. Here my lord and I stayed and dined, the vice-chamberlain taking his leave. At table, the Duchess, a damned ill-looked woman, complaining of her lord's going to sea the next year, said these cursed words. If my lord had been a coward, he had gone to sea no more, it may be. Then he might have been excused, and made an ambassador, meaning my Lord Sandwich. This made me mad, and I believe she perceived my countenance change, and blushed herself very much. I was in hopes others had not minded it, but my Lord Brunker, after we were come away, took notice of the words to me with displeasure. Thence, after dinner away by water, calling and taking leave of Sir George Carteret, whom we found going through at Whitehall, and so over to Lambeth, and took coach and home, and so to the office where late writing letters, and then home to Mr. Hill, and sang, among other things, my song of Beauty Return, which he likes, only excepts against 2 notes in the bass, but likes the whole very well. So late to bed. The 10th of December. Lord's Day. Lay long talking, Hill and I, with great pleasure, and then up, and being ready, walked to Cox for some news, but heard none, only they would have us stay their dinner, and sent for my wife, who came. And very merry we were, there being Sir Edmund Pooley and Mr. Evelyn. Before we had dined, comes Mr. Andrews, whom we had sent for to Bow, and so after dinner home, and there we sang some things, but not with much pleasure, Mr. Andrews being in so great haste to go home, his wife looking every hour to be brought to bed. He gone, Mr. Hill and I continued our music, one thing after another, late till supper, and so to bed with great pleasure. The 11th of December. Lay long with great pleasure talking, so I left him and to London to the change, and after discoursed with several people about business, met Mr. Gordon at the Pope's Head, where he brought Mr. Lewis and Thomas Wilson to discourse about the victualling business and the alteration of the purser's trade, for something must be done to secure the king a little better, and yet that they may have wherewith to live. After dinner I took him aside and perfected, to my great joy, my business with him, wherein he deals most nobly, in giving me his hand for the £4,000, and would take my note but for £3,500. This is a great blessing, and God make me thankful truly for it. With him till it was dark, putting in writing our discourse about victualling, and so parted, and I to Viner's, and there evened all accounts, and took up my notes from him, setting all straight between us to this day, the like to Colville, and paying several bills due from me on the Tangier account. Then late met Cock and Temple at the Pope's Head, and there had good discourse with Temple, who tells me that of the £80,000 advanced already by the East India Company, they have had £45,000 out of their hands. He discoursed largely of the quantity of money coined, and what may be thought the real sum of money in the kingdom. He told me, too, as an instance of the thrift used in the king's business, that the tolls, and the interest of the money rising to the king for the money he borrowed while the new invention of the mill money was perfected, cost him £35,000. And in mirth tells me that the new fashion money is good for nothing but to help the prince. If he can secretly get copper plates shut up in silver, it shall never be discovered, at least not in his age. Thence Cock and I by water, he home, and I home, and there sat with Mr. Hill and my wife, supping, talking, and singing till midnight, and then to bed. That I may remember it the more particularly, I thought fit to insert this additional memorandum of Temple's discourse this night with me, which I took in writing from his mouth. Before the harp and cross money was cried down, he and his fellow goldsmiths did make some particular trials what proportion that money bore to the old king's money, and they found that generally it came to, one with another, about £25 in every £100. Of this money there was, upon the calling it in, £650,000 at least brought into the Tower, and from thence computes that the whole money of England must be full £16.25 million. But for all this, believes that there is above £30 million, he supposing that about the king's coming in, when he begun to observe the quantity of the new money, people begun to be fearful of this money's being cried down, and so picked it out and set it a-going as fast as they could to be rid of it. And he thinks £30 million the rather, because if there were but £16.25 million, the king, having £20 million every year, would have the whole money of the kingdom in his hands in 8 years. He tells me about £350,000 sterling was coined out of the French money, the proceed of Dunkirk, so that with what was coined of the cross money, there is new coined about £1 million, besides the gold, which is guessed at £500,000. He tells me that though the king did deposit the French money in pawn all the while for the £350,000, he was forced to borrow thereupon till the tools could be made for the new minting in the present form. Yet the interest he paid for that time came to £35,000, Viner having, to his knowledge, £10,000 for the use of £100,000 of it. The 12th of December. Up into the office where my Lord Brunker met me, and among other things did finish a contract with Cock for hemp, by which I hope to get my money due from him paid presently. At noon, home to dinner, only eating a bite, and with much kindness taking leave of Mr. Hill, who goes away today, and so I by water, saving my tide through bridge, and to Sir George Downing by appointment at Charing Cross, who did at first mightily please me with informing me thoroughly the virtue and force of this act, and indeed it is 10 times better than ever I thought could have been said of it. But when he came to impose upon me that without more ado I must get by my credit people to serve in goods, and lend money upon it, and none could do it better than I, and the king should give me thanks particularly in it, and I could not get him to excuse me, but I must come to him, though to no purpose, on Saturday, and he is sure I will bring him some bargains or other made upon this act, it vexed me more than all the pleasure I took before, for I find he will be troublesome to me in it, if I will let him have as much of my time as he would have. So late I took leave, and in the cold, the weather setting in cold, home to the office, and after my letters being wrote, home to supper and to bed, my wife being also gone to London. The 13th of December. Up betimes and finished my journal for 5 days back, and then after being ready to my Lord Brunker by appointment, there to order the disposing of some money that we have come into the office, and here, to my great content, I did get a bill of imprest to Captain Cock, to pay myself in part of what is coming to me from him, for my Lord Sandwich's satisfaction, and my own, and also another payment or two wherein I am concerned. And having done that, did go to Mr. Pierce's, where he and his wife made me drink some tea. And so he and I by water together to London. Here at a tavern in Cornhill, he and I did agree upon my delivering up to him a bill of Captain Cox, put into my hands for Pierce's use, upon evening of reckonings about the prize goods. And so away to the change, and there hear the ill news, to my great and all our great trouble, that the plague is increased again this week, notwithstanding there hath been a day or two great frosts. But we hope it is only the effects of the late close warm weather, and if the frosts continue the next week, may fall again. But the town doth thicken so much with people, that it is much if the plague do not grow again upon us. Off the change, invited by Sheriff Hooker, who keeps the poorest mean dirty table in a dirty house that ever I did see any sheriff of London, and a plain, ordinary, silly man I think he is, but rich. Only his son, Mr. Letulier, I like, for a pretty civil understanding merchant, and the more, by much, because he happens to be husband to our noble, fat, brave lady in our parish, that I and my wife admire so. Thence away to the Pope's Head Tavern, and there met first with Captain Cock, and dispatched my business with him to my content, he being ready to sign his bill of imprest of £2,000, and give it me in part of his payment to me, which glads my heart. He being gone, comes Sir William Warren, who advised with me about several things about getting money, and £100 I shall presently have of him. We advised about a business of insurance, wherein something may be saved to him and got to me, and to that end he and I did take a coach at night, and to the cockpit, there to get the Duke of Albemarle's advice for our insuring some of our sound goods, coming home under Harmon's convoy. But he proved shy of doing it without knowledge of the Duke of York, so we back again and calling at my house to see my wife, who is well, though my great trouble is that our poor little parish is the greatest number this week in all the city within the walls, having six from one the last week. And so, by water to Greenwich, leaving Sir William Warren at home, and I straight to my Lord Brunker, it being late, and concluded upon insuring something, and to send to that purpose to Sir William Warren to come to us tomorrow morning. So I home, and my mind in great rest, to bed. The 14th of December. Up and to the office a while with my Lord Brunker, where we directed Sir William Warren in the business of the insurance as I desired, and ended some other businesses of his, and so at noon I to London, but the change was done before I got thither. So I to the Pope's Head Tavern, and there find Mr. Gordon and Captain Beckford and Nicholas Osborne going to dinner, and I dined with them, and very exceeding merry we were, as I had been a great while. And dinner being done, I to the East India House, and there had an assignment on Temple for my £2,000 of Captain Cox, which joyed my heart. And so, having seen my wife in the way, I home by water, and to write my letters, and then home to bed. The 15th of December. Up and spent all the morning with my surveyors of the ports for the victualling, and there read to them what instructions I had provided for them, and discoursed largely much of our business and the business of the pursers. I left them to dine with my people, and I to my Lord Brunker's, where I met with a great good dinner, and Sir Thomas Teddeman, with whom my Lord and I were to discourse about the bringing of Will Howe to a trial for his jewels. There, till almost night, and so away toward the office, and in my way met with Sir James Bunce, and after asking what news, he cried, I know not whether in earnest or jest, "Aye," says he, "this is the time for you," says he, "that were for Oliver heretofore. You are full of employment, and we poor cavaliers sit still and can get nothing." Which was a pretty reproach, I thought, but answered nothing to it, for fear of making it worse. So away, and I to see Mistress Pennington, but company being to come to her, I stayed not, but to the office a little, and so home, and after supper to bed. The 16th of December. Up and met at the office, Sir William Batten with us, who came from Portsmouth on Monday last, and hath not been with us to see or discourse with us about any business till this day. At noon to dinner, Sir William Warren with me, one bite, and thence I by water, it being a fearful cold snowing day, to Westminster, to Whitehall Stairs, and thence to Sir George Downing, to whom I brought the happy news of my having contracted, as we did this day with Sir William Warren, for a ship's loading of Norway goods here, and another at Harwich, to the value of above £3,000, which is the first that hath been got upon the new act, and he is overjoyed with it, and tells me he will do me all the right at court about it in the world, and I am glad I have it to write to Sir William Coventry to-night. He would fain have me come, in £200, to lend upon the act, but I desire to be excused in doing that, it being to little purpose for us that relate to the king to do it, for the sum gets the king no courtesy nor credit. So I parted from him and walked to Westminster Hall, where Sir William Warren, who came along with me, stayed for me, and there I did see Betty Howlett come after the sickness to the hall. I had not opportunity to salute her as I desired, but was glad to see her, and a very pretty wench she is. Thence back, landing at the Old Swan and taking boat again at Billingsgate, and setting ashore at home, and I, lying down close in my boat, and there, without use of my hand, had great pleasure, and the first time I did make trial of my strength of fancy of that kind without my hand, and had it complete avec la fille que I did see aujourd'hui in Westminster Hall. So to my office, and there wrote my letters, and so home to supper and to bed, it being a great frost. News is come to-day of our sound fleet being come, but I do not know what Sir William Warren hath insured. The 17th and 18th of December, Lord's Day. After being trimmed, word brought me that Cutler's coach is by appointment come to the Isle of Dogs for me, and so I over the water, and in his coach to Hackney, a very fine, cold, clear, frosty day. At his house I find him with a plain little dinner, good wine, and welcome. He is still a prating man, and the more I know him, the less I find in him. A pretty house he hath here indeed of his own building. His old mother was an object at dinner that made me not like it. And after dinner, to visit his sick wife, I did not also take much joy in. But very friendly he is to me, not for any kindness I think he hath to any man, but thinking me, I perceive, a man whose friendship is to be looked after. After dinner back again, and to Deptford to Mr. Evelyn's, who was not within. But I had appointed my cousin Thomas Pepys of Hatcham to meet me there, to discourse about getting his £1,000 of my Lord Sandwich, having now an opportunity of my having above that sum in my hand of his. I find this a dull fellow still in all his discourse, but in this he is ready enough to embrace what I counsel him to, which is to write importunately to my lord and me about it, and I will look after it. I do again and again declare myself a man unfit to be security for such a sum. He walked with me as far as Deptford Upper Town, being mighty respectful to me, and there parted, he telling me that this town is still very bad of the plague. I walked to Greenwich, first to make a short visit to my Lord Brunker, and next to Mistress Pennington, and spent all the evening with her, with the same freedom I used to have, and very pleasant company. With her till 1 o'clock in the morning and past, and so to my lodgings to bed, and betimes up, it being a fine frost, and walked it to Redriff, calling and drinking at Halfway House, thinking indeed to have overtaken some of the people of our house, the women who were to walk the same walk, but I could not. So to London, and there visited my wife, and was a little displeased to find she is so forward, all of a spurt, to make much of her brother and sister since my last kindness to him in getting him a place. But all ended well presently, and I to the change, and up and down to Kingdon, and the goldsmiths, to meet Mr. Stevens, and did get all my money matters most excellently cleared, to my complete satisfaction. Passing over Cornhill, I spied young Mistress Daniel and Sarah, my landlady's daughters, who were come, as I expected, to town, and did see they spied me, and I dogged them to St. Martin's, where I passed by them, buying shoes, and walked down as low as Duck Lane, and inquired for some Spanish books. And so back again, and they were gone, so to the change, hoping to see them in the street, and missing them, went back again thither and back to the change, but no sight of them. So I went after my business again, and though late, was sent to by Sir William Warren, who heard where I was, to entreat me to come dine with him, hearing I lacked a dinner, at the Pope's Head, and there with Mr. Hinton, the goldsmith, and others, very merry. But, Lord, to see how Dr. Hinton came in with a gallant or two from court, and doth so call cousin Mr. Hinton the goldsmith. But I, that know him to be a beggar and a knave, did make great sport in my mind at it. After dinner, Sir William Warren and I alone in another room a little while, talking about business, and so parted, and I thence, my mind full of content in my day's work, home by water to Greenwich, the river beginning to be very full of ice, so as I was a little frighted, but got home well it being dark. So, having no mind to do any business, went home to my lodgings, and there got little Mistress Tooker and Mistress Daniel, the daughter, and Sarah to my chamber to cards, and sup with me, when in comes Mr. Pierce to me, who tells me how Will Howe hath been examined on shipboard by my Lord Brunker to-day, and others, and that he hath charged him, out of envy, with sending goods under my Lord's seal, and in my Lord Brunker's name, thereby to get them safe passage, which he tells me is false, but that he did use my name to that purpose, and hath acknowledged it to my Lord Brunker, but doth also confess to me that for one parcel he thinks he did use my Lord Brunker's name, which vexes me mightily, that my name should be brought in question about such things, though I did not say much to him of my discontent till I have spoke with my Lord Brunker about it. So, he being gone, being to go to Oxford tomorrow, we to cards again late, and so broke up, I having great pleasure with my little girl, Mistress Tooker. The 19th of December. Up and to the office, where all the morning. At noon, by agreement, comes Hatcham Pepys to dine with me. I thought to have had him to Sir John Minnis's to a good venison pasty with the rest of my fellows, being invited. But seeing much company, I went away with him and had a good dinner at home. He did give me letters he hath wrote to my lord and more about my lord's money, to get it paid to my cousin, which I will make good use of. I made mighty much of him, but a sorry dull fellow he is, fit for nothing that is ingenious, nor is there a turd of kindness or service to be had from him. So I shall neglect him, if I could get but him satisfied about this money, that I may be out of bonds for my lord to him. To see that this fellow could desire me to help him to some employment, if it were but of £100 per annum, when he is not worth less than, I believe, £20,000. He gone, I to Sir John Minnis, and thence with my Lord Brunker on board the Bezan to examine Will Howe again, who I find upon this trial one of much more wit and ingenuity in his answers than ever I expected, he being very cunning and discreet and well-spoken in them. I said little to him or concerning him, but, Lord, to see how he writes to me nowadays and styles me my honour. So much is a man subjected and dejected under afflictions as to flatter me in that manner on this occasion. Back with my lord to Sir John Minnis, where I left him and the rest of a great deal of company, and so I to my office, where late writing letters, and then home to bed. The 20th of December. Up and was trimmed, but not time enough to save my Lord Brunker's coach, or Sir John Minnis, and so was fain to walk to Lambeth on foot. But it was a very fine frosty walk, and great pleasure in it, but troublesome getting over the river for ice. I to the Duke of Albemarle, whither my brethren were all come, but I was not too late. There we sat in discourse upon our navy businesses an hour, and thence in my Lord Brunker's coach alone, he walking before, while I stayed a while talking with Sir George Downing about the act, in which he is horrid troublesome, to the Old Exchange, whence I took Sir Ellis Layton to Captain Cox, where my Lord Brunker and Lady Williams dine, and we all mighty merry. But Sir Ellis Layton, one of the best companions at a meal in the world. After dinner, I to the Exchange to see whether my pretty seamstress be come again or no, and I find she is. So I to her, saluted her over her counter in the open Exchange above, and mightily joyed to see her, poor pretty woman. I must confess I think her a great beauty. After laying out a little money there for 2 pair of thread stockings, cost 8 shillings, I to Lombard Street to see some businesses to write there at the Goldsmiths. Among others, paying in £1,258 to Viner for my Lord Sandwich's use upon Cox's account. I was called by my Lord Brunker in his coach, with his mistress and Mr. Cottle the lawyer, our acquaintance at Greenwich. And so home to Greenwich, and thence I to Mistress Pennington, and have a supper from the King's Head for her, and there mighty merry and free as I used to be with her. And at last, late, did pray her to undress herself into her nightgown that I might see how to have her picture drawn carelessly, for she is mighty proud of that conceit, and I would walk without in the street till she had done. So I did walk forth, and whether I made too many turns or no in the dark, cold, frosty night between the two walls up to the park gate, I know not. But she was gone to bed when I came again to the house, upon pretence of leaving some papers there, which I did on purpose by her consent. So I away home, and was there sat up for, to be spoken with by young Mistress Daniel, to pray me to speak for her husband to be a lieutenant. I had the opportunity here of kissing her again and again, and did answer that I would be very willing to do him any kindness, and so parted, and I to bed, exceedingly pleased in all my matters of money this month or two, it having pleased God to bless me with several opportunities of good sums, and that I have them in effect all very well paid, or in my power to have. But 2 things trouble me. 1, the sickness is increased above 80 this week, though in my own parish not one hath died, though 6 the last week. The other, most of all, which is that I have had so complex an account for these last 2 months, for variety of layings out upon Tangier occasions and variety of gettings, that I have not made even with myself now these 3 or 4 months, which doth trouble me mightily, fearing that I shall hardly ever come to understand them thoroughly again, as I used to do my accounts when I was at home. The 21st of December. At the office all the morning, at noon all of us dined at Captain Cox at a good chine of beef and other good meat, but being all frost-bitten was most of it unroast, but very merry, and a good dish of fowl we dressed ourselves. Mr. Evelyn there in very good humour. All the afternoon, till night, pleasant, and then I took my leave of them and to the office where I wrote my letters and away home, my head full of business and some trouble for my letting my accounts go so far. But I have made an oath this night for the drinking no wine, etc., on such penalties till I have passed my account and cleared all. Coming home and going to bed, the boy tells me his sister Daniel hath provided me a supper of little birds, killed by her husband, and I made her sup with me, and after supper were alone a great while, and I had the pleasure of her lips, she being a pretty woman, and one whom a great belly becomes as well as ever I saw any. She gone, I to bed. This day I was come to by Mistress Burrows of Westminster, Lieutenant Burrows, lately dead, his widow, a most pretty woman, and my old acquaintance. I had a kiss or two of her, and a most modest woman she is. The 22nd of December. Up betimes into my Lord Brunker to consider the late instruction sent us, of the method of our signing bills hereafter and paying them. By and by agreement, come Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, and then to read them publicly, and consider of putting them in execution. About this all the morning, and it appearing necessary for the controller to have another clerk, I recommend Poynter to him, which he accepts, and I by that means rid of one that I fear would not have been fit for my turn, though he writes very well. At noon comes Mr. Hill to town, and finds me out here and brings Mr. Hublin, who met him here. So I was compelled to leave my lord and his dinner and company, and with them to the Bear, and dined with them and their brothers, of which Hill had his, and the other two of his. And mighty merry and very fine company they are, and I glad to see them. After dinner, I forced to take leave of them, by being called upon by Mr. Andrews, I having sent for him, and by a fine gloss did bring him to desire tallies for what orders I have to pay him, and his company, for Tangier victuals. And I by that means cleared to myself £210, coming to me upon their two orders, which is also a noble addition to my late profits, which have been very considerable of late. But how great I know not till I come to cast up my accounts, which burdens my mind that it should be so backward. But I am resolved to settle to nothing till I have done it. He gone, I to my Lord Brunker, and there spent the evening. By my desire in seeing his lordship open to pieces, and make up again his watch, thereby being taught what I never knew before, and it is a thing very well worth my having seen, and am mightily pleased and satisfied with it. So I sat talking with him till late at night, somewhat vexed at a snappish answer Madam Williams did give me to herself, upon my speaking a free word to her in mirth, calling her a mad jade. She answered we were not so well acquainted yet, but I was more vexed at a letter from my Lord Duke of Albemarle today, pressing us to continue our meetings for all Christmas, which, though everybody intended not to have done, yet I am concluded in it, who intended nothing else. But I see it is necessary that I do make often visits to my Lord Duke, which nothing shall hinder after I have evened my accounts, and now the river is frozen, I know not how to get to him. Thence to my lodging, making up my journal for 8 or 9 days, and so, my mind being eased of it, I to supper and to bed. The weather hath been frosty these 8 or 9 days, and so we hope for an abatement of the plague the next week, or else God have mercy upon us, for the plague will certainly continue the next year if it doth not. The 23rd of December. At my office all the morning, and home to dinner, my head full of business, and there my wife finds me unexpectedly, but I not being at leisure to stay or talk with her, she went down by coach to Woolwich, thinking to fetch Mistress Barbary to carry her to London to keep her Christmas with her, and I to the office. This day one came to me with 4 great turkeys, as a present from Mr. Dean at Harwich, 3 of which my wife carried in the evening home with her to London in her coach, Mistress Barbary not being to be got so suddenly, but will come to her the next week, and I at my office late, and then to my lodging to bed. The 24th of December, Sunday. Up betimes to my Lord Duke of Albemarle by water, and after some talk with him about business of the office with great content, and so back again, and to dinner my landlady and her daughters with me, and had mince pies, and very merry at a mischance her young son had, in tearing of his new coat quite down the outside of his sleeve in the whole cloth, one of the strangest mishaps that ever I saw in my life. Then to church, and placed myself in the parson's pew, under the pulpit, to hear Mistress Chamberlain in the next pew sing, who is daughter to Sir James Bunce, of whom I have heard much, and indeed she sings very finely. And from church met with Sir William Warren, and he and I walked together talking about his and my businesses, getting of money as fairly as we can. And having set him part of his way home, I walked to my Lord Brunker, whom I heard was at Alderman Hooker's, hoping to see and salute Mistress Letulier, whom I did see in passing, but no opportunity of beginning acquaintance. But a very noble lady she is, however the silly alderman got her. Here we sat talking a great while, Sir Theophilus Bidulph and Mr. Vaughan, a son-in-law of Alderman Hooker's, thence with my Lord Brunker home, and sat a little with him, and so home to bed. The 25th of December, Christmas Day. To church in the morning, and there saw a wedding in the church, which I've not seen many a day, and the young people so merry with one another, and strange to see what delight we married people have to see these poor fools decoyed into our condition, every man and wife gazing and smiling at them. Here I saw again my beauty, Letulier. Thence to my Lord Brunker by invitation and dined there, and so home to my lodgings to settle myself, to look over and settle my papers, both of my accounts private and those of Tangier, which I've let go so long that it were impossible for any soul, had I died, to understand them or ever come to any good end in them. I hope God will never suffer me to come to that disorder again. The 26th of December. Up and to the office where Sir John Minnis and my Lord Brunker and I met, to give our directions to the commanders of all the ships in the river to bring in lists of their ships' companies, with entries, discharges, etc., all the last voyage. Where young Seymour, among 20 that stood bare, stood with his hat on, a proud, saucy young man. Thence with them to Mr. Cottle's, being invited, and dined nobly and neatly with a very pretty house and a fine turret at top, with winding stairs, and the finest prospect I know about all Greenwich, save the top of the hill, and yet in some respects better than that. Here I also saw some fine writing work and flourishing of Mr. Hoare, he one that I knew long ago, an acquaintance of Mr. Thompson's at Westminster that is this man's clerk. It is the stories of the several archbishops of Canterbury, engrossed in vellum to hang up in Canterbury Cathedral in tables, in lieu of the old ones, which are almost worn out. Thence to the office a while, and so to Captain Cox, and there talked, and home to look over my papers, and so to bed. The 27th of December. Up and with Cock by coach to London, there home to my wife, and angry about her desiring a maid yet, before the plague is quite over. It seems Mercer is troubled that she hath not one under her, but I will not venture my family by increasing it before it be safe. Thence about many businesses, particularly with Sir William Warren on the change, and he and I dined together and settled our Tangier matters, wherein I get above £200 presently. We dined together at the Pope's Head to do this, and thence to the goldsmith's, I to examine the state of my matters there too, and so with him to my house, but my wife was gone abroad to Mistress Mercer's, so we took boat. And it being dark, and the thaw having broke the ice, but not carried it quite away, the boat did pass through so much of it all along, and that with the crackling and noise, that it made me fearful indeed. So I forced the watermen to land us on Redriff side, and so walked together till Sir William Warren and I parted near his house, and thence I walked quite over the fields home, by light of link, one of my watermen carrying it, and I reading by the light of it, it being a very fine, clear, dry night. So to Captain Cox, and there sat and talked, especially with his counsellor, about his prize goods that hath done him good turns, being of the company with Captain Fisher, his name Godison. Here I supped, and so home to bed. With great content that the plague is decreased to 152, the whole being but 330. The 28th of December. Up and to the office, and thence, with a great deal of business in my head, dined alone with Cock, so home alone strictly about my accounts, wherein I made a good beginning, and so after letters wrote by the post, to bed. The 29th of December. Up betimes, and all day long within doors upon my accounts, public and private, and find the ill effects of letting them go so long without evening, that no soul could have ever understood them but myself, and I with much ado. But, however, my regularity in all I did and spent doth help me, and I hope to find them well. Late at them, and to bed. The 30th of December. Up and to the office, at noon, home to dinner, and all the afternoon to my accounts again, and there find myself, to my great joy, a great deal worth above £4,000, for which the Lord be praised, and is principally occasioned by my getting £500 of Cock for my profit in his bargains of prize goods, and from Mr. Gordon's making me a present of £500 more when I paid him £8,000 for Tangier. So to my office to write letters, then to my accounts again, and so to bed, being in great ease of mind. The 31st of December, Lord's Day. All the morning in my chamber writing fair the state of my Tangier accounts, and so dined at home. In the afternoon to the Duke of Albemarle, and thence back again by water, and so to my chamber to finish the entry of my accounts, and to think of the business I am next to do, which is the stating my thoughts and putting in order my collections about the business of purses, to see where the fault of our present constitution relating to them lies, and what to propose to mend it. And upon this late, and with my head full of this business, to bed. Thus ends this year to my great joy in this manner. I have raised my estate from £1,300 in this year to £4,400. I have got myself greater interest, I think, by my diligence, and my employments increased by that of treasurer for Tangier and surveyor of the victuals. It is true we have gone through great melancholy because of the great plague, and I put to great charges by it, by keeping my family long at Woolwich, and myself, and another part of my family, my clerks, at my charge at Greenwich, and a maid at London. But I hope the King will give us some satisfaction for that. But now the plague is abated almost to nothing, and I intending to get to London as fast as I can, my family, that is my wife and maids, having been there these 2 or 3 weeks. The Dutch war goes on very ill, by reason of lack of money, having none to hope for, all being put into disorder by a new act that is made as an experiment to bring credit to the exchequer, for goods and money to be advanced upon the credit of that act. I have never lived so merrily, besides that I never got so much, as I have done this plague time, by my Lord Brunker's and Captain Cock's good company, and the acquaintance of Mistress Nip, Coleman, and her husband, and Mr. Lanier, and great store of dancings we have had at my cost, which I was willing to indulge myself and wife at my lodgings. The great evil of this year, and the only one indeed, is the fall of my Lord of Sandwich, whose mistake about the prizes hath undone him, I believe, as to interest at court, though sent, for a little palliating it, ambassador into Spain, which he is now fitting himself for. But the Duke of Albemarle goes with the Prince to sea this next year, and my Lord very meanly spoken of, and indeed his miscarriage about the prize goods is not to be excused, to suffer a company of rogues to go away with 10 times as much as himself, and the blame of all to be deservedly laid upon him. My whole family hath been well all this while, and all my friends I know of, saving my Aunt Bell, who is dead, and some children of my cousin Sarah's, of the plague. But many of such as I know very well, dead. Yet, to our great joy, the town fills apace, and shops begin to be open again. Pray God continue the plague's decrease, for that keeps the court away from the place of business, and so all goes to rack as to public matters, they at this distance not thinking of it.